It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlanta's Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters here on a Sunday morning. It's always good to be back on Money Matters. So last weekend, Memorial Day, we were out and we had a Clark Howard special on. And it's always good to be back after missing a week or so. I get extra excited and maybe have extra things to talk about. So it's only the best things that came to me over the past week or 2 weeks as opposed to one. So maybe today will be in even better Money Matters? I don't know. I hope for that. I hope for all of us for that reason. There's just so much happening in the world, and I want to dive in onto two just completely different topics that I think will fascinate, both equally fascinating to you and your family and how they impact your life directly. And that's exactly why I want to just dive into them today. So two topics that could not have a greater dichotomy of scope. One, we're going to talk about global demographic and economic trends. If you've listened to Money Matters in the past, you know that I have such a love for demographics and what that does to the economies that we effectively live in around the world and how that impacts markets. To me, it is just the it's one of the most fun topics because it influences economics, which is another, I think, such a extraordinarily important topic. I studied it at the University of North Carolina, so it's a topic near and dear to my heart, but it also has so much to do with how we invest and how we save for retirement. So global demographic and economic trends today, and then how we misperceive them and what we can learn from trying to clean up that dramatic misperception. The other side of the scope, and if we could zoom in a thousand times, and this, again, if you're listening to Money Matters today, good morning. This hits you just as hard and arguably even more pressing. And that's the fact that your individual household property taxes, I'll say it again, property taxes just went up. Well, for the most part, 95% of you listening, your property taxes, the bill you pay, whether it's Fulton County or Cobb County or Gwinnett County, and if you're outside of Georgia, your particular county, you probably either have just received an assessment on your property or you're about to receive an assessment on your property. And you and I both know, if you look at larger housing trends, particularly in metro areas in the United States, housing prices have gone up and up and up. And your property tax bill will reflect that. What makes it so staggeringly stunning in the state of Georgia is that in many counties, we had a little bit of a pass for a while, and property taxes were kind of locked in. And now it seems as though, from all the feedback that we're getting, and my neighborhood next door, and this is not just my neighborhood, but probably neighborhoods all around the great state of Georgia, blew up last week when property tax assessments came out, property bills came out, and families were just in public forum posting the property taxes and incensed and enraged at how large these bills were and how much they've gone up since last year. So imagine we can unwrap two of those super important topics today here in just the 2 hours that we have, and I think we'll be able to do that. So good morning, welcome to Money Matters. And of course, intermixed in all of this, the best part about Money Matters is your phone calls and questions that you've been thinking about over the last couple of weeks. You're wondering yourself, hey, we should maybe get some, hey, honey, let's call Money Matters on Sunday morning. Let's call Wes and say, just get some direction on where we're going, whether it's from a planning standpoint or the standpoint of what are you investing in right now? How should you be investing in an environment where interest rates are, for the most part, headed higher? Stock market valuations are, well, not necessarily valuations, but equity prices are still fairly close to an all-time high. The economy is chugging along at a faster rate than we've seen in a long time. Does it get a lot better than this? And that's the question that you're asking. Where do you go? And where do you go as an investor? And then what are some of the steps you make today making the right decision, whether it might be, hey, I'm about to take a lump sum from my company in retirement, or should I take a monthly amount and figure that out? And do I take a monthly amount just based on my life or my spouse's life or the both of us? How does that work best? A lot of decisions to be making, not to mention all the investment options that are thrown at you every single day, whether it might be individual companies, stocks, bonds, ETFs, mutual funds, annuities. You're thrown this just plethora of choice every single day. And we're here and to try to be the most objective resource that you can find on radio. And we've been done this for many, many years and hope to do it for many more. So good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. Here we are officially it's June, it's summer, it's hot outside. Hopefully the rain has moved through and we can get to our summer. The number here in the studio this morning, 1-800-WSB-TALK for all our folks outside of the state of Georgia, Texas, California, all of our folks in Seattle. Of course, the wonderful state, the most underrated state in the nation, which is Michigan, around the Great Lakes, where I will be headed at some point this summer. Pennsylvania, North Carolina, and of course, right here in Atlanta. So outside of Georgia, 1-800, the number in the studio, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Here in the state of Georgia, of course, 404-872-0750. Again, 404, the number 404-872-0750. All right, let's get to what I wanted to cover today. So again, very quickly for the week, typical, probably the most roller coaster of purely roller coaster week I've really seen. The Dow was down. We started out the week. Dow was down 400 points and it was up 300 points. It was down 200 points. It was up 200 points. For the week, the Dow ended up down about 0.5%. The S&P 500 is up 0.5%. But of course, just the same, some new worries, some kind of old garden variety worries popped up this week. A new one, the Italian debt crisis, I'd say relatively new, but we've had a Greek debt crisis. We've had a European debt crisis. Now we're worried about a specific Italian banking debt crisis. That popped up this week. That's why the market was down 400 points on Monday. Then Trump tweeted about jobs a full hour before the official numbers came out. We'll continue to hear if he was supposed to do that or allowed to do that. New tariffs announced back and forth every single day or week. Meetings with North Korea. Are they on? Are they off? Are they on again? So just a purely roller coasteristic week for markets. And again, today, though, the two big topics here, very divergent and completely different ends of the spectrum. One, so broad that it impacts the entire direction of our global economy and everyone in this generation and even the next few generations, because we're talking about the next 50 years. And we have to think that way as investors. And then so global demographic and economic trends and how we misperceive them. And then, of course, your property taxes at 10 a.m., a gentleman by the name of Hap Richardson, who's an attorney and who specializes in property tax appeals, will join us to discuss how you can appeal property taxes and what's been happening in the state of one of the biggest bills you pay in any given year, and how you can maybe save a couple hundred dollars, maybe a couple thousand dollars on those taxes. First, I can't really skip over the largest piece of economic data we received this past month, and that's the jobs report we just got Friday. U.S. payrolls in at 223,000 new jobs for the month of May. 223,000 new jobs for the month of May. The unemployment rate dipped to below 3.8%. If you want to be exact on that, we have an unemployment rate now here in the United States of 3.755%. Great. What about wage growth? That's what we really care about. That's the increase that we see or don't see when we get paid as a country. That wage statistic came in at plus 2.7%. That means wages are growing. Remember that wage growth is also, from an economic data point perspective, it's the black widow of economic data points. Remember, wage growth is good. We want wage growth, but too much of that is a sign that the end of the economic expansion is near. 4% is the number we watch for. 4.5% wage growth We've long talked about this economic data point. We've got to watch it. Above four, call it four, it's a kind of a range that starts to hurt. 4 to 4.5%, very often the precursor to recession. So under three, where we stand today, it's good. Still not, and we're still in safe territory, so we'll continue to watch that. Even the underemployment rate, it's also known as the U6, that's dropped all the way down to 7.6%. Just for some context, that doesn't sound that great, Wes, 7.6% underemployment. That U6 rate, which measures someone not having, working to their full capacity, maybe you want a full-time job, but you're only getting 20 hours a week in the labor force, then you're considered underemployed and you register on this data point, which is called the U6 unemployment rate. It was at 17% during the Great Recession. Today, down to 7.6%. The fact that this keeps dropping, the U6 and quite frankly, the broader unemployment numbers, the fact that these numbers keep dropping and wages are climbing, that makes sense, right? We have there's no more slack in the labor force. And if there's no more slack, then you as an employee, you can lobby for higher wages. So it makes sense. But the cycle has been somewhat muted. And I'll take an answer from the Domino's Pizza CEO on this one. Just a couple quick notes on Domino's. They employ over 310,000 people. Patrick Doyle, the CEO, he's stepping down soon. He's kind of had this amazing run as CEO for Domino's. The stock's up 3,200%, 3,200% over the past 9 years. You look back to the summer of 2009 versus about 200% for the S&P 500. But what he says is that despite the rise in wages, we're seeing labor force participation and that rate still below 63%. In 2008, that number was 66%. The percentage of people in the labor force, people in the country that want to get a job, they're in the labor force. So that means that we're still potentially 1 million or even 2 million folks away from getting back into the labor force. So there's new folks that can continue to come back in. And if that continues to happen, it's good for the job market, but it kind of keeps a lid on wage inflation. New supply of labor will keep prices and what companies pay individuals, at least will put a little bit of a lid or a cap on that. So much to talk about here, Money Matters. And again, number in Georgia, 404-872-0750. Money Matters returns right
now. Here's more great money and investment advice from certified financial planner Wes Moss.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here, WSB Radio. Chris joins us on the line. Chris, good morning from Cumming. What's going on, man? How can I help?
Hey, good morning, Wes. Hey, I'm going to ask you about strategists. You brought them up a couple of weeks ago. And if you look at something like Berkshire Hathaway, they created this tracking stock so that you didn't have to pay all these exorbitant fees for units for us to invest in them. And I can't really find anything like that with strategic.
Yeah, Chris. So what Chris is asking about, a couple of weeks ago in Barron's, they interviewed a gentleman by the name of Dan Clifton, who is the chief political researcher at Strategus. Strategus is a research company. And now they also have an asset management wing or arm to them. But they are a research company and they're very good at politics. And they run, and for many years now have tracked what they used to call the lobby index. And these are companies that are smart in Washington. And if you make that an actual stock strategy, almost think of it as a mutual fund, the performance has been exceedingly good because it turns out that analysts don't seem to cover this area of the world. And companies that are really smart about what they do in Washington have done very, very well year after year after year after year. At CIA, our firm, me, Ryan, our whole Money Matters team, we partnered with Strategus many, many years ago. And through that partnership, we have that strategy. There's no ETF that does it. There's no separate tracking stock that does it. It is, you actually have to own the individual 50 companies that change every quarter. I'm sure there's other firms that do it in the country. There's no way to kind of look up a list like who offers the policy opportunity portfolio, what it's called. We do. I actually, so we run the policy opportunity strategy along with Strategus, that's the name of the research firm. And I personally invest in it. I have money in this and have for a long time now. So I'm a big believer in it. The reason I brought it up the other weekend or a couple weekends ago is that Barron's finally picked up on it and did a whole story about Dan Clifton and his prowess within Washington and his understanding of how companies spend their money. Really, the issue here is lobbying intensity. So it turns out the way this is run, if you can find companies that are the most intense in any given period of time about their lobbying activities, it can impact their earnings, and can really be a good thing. So I'm a big believer in it. I personally invest it. We have it available through the Money Matters team. So if you want to act, and it's not any more expensive than anything else. So you're right. These strategies can tend to be expensive. This one is not. So you can always find us at go to westmoss.com, shoot us an email, and we can give you more information about how to access them. There's a minimum on it of at least 100,000, so it's not a small minimum. But so just know that as well. Again, go to Westmoss, WESMOSS.com. More Money Matters straight ahead.
It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss, certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta, Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Ryan Ely and I just discussing calls on hold. Who do we go to? So many good calls. The number here in the studio, 404-872-0750. And we really try to do our best to get to what we think are the most interesting calls that can help the most people by discussing this with you. There are 100 other people out there that really are having the same exact question or almost identical scenario. Maybe 1,000 people. I don't know. And it's really helpful to go through this and talk through this. And we've been doing this on Money Matters for many, many years. So the more complicated your question, it's even better. Don't think that it's too much for radio, even though we have these short bursts of time. We like to try to dig into these, and we're not going to solve everything, obviously, on a 5-minute phone call on the radio, but we can maybe give you some real direction, or at least another opinion, third opinion, objective opinion. That's the whole point. So good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. Give us a call in the studio, 1-800-WSB-TALK here in the studio. Again, 800-WSB-TALK or 404-872-0750. Again, 404-872-0750. After a call or two, we'll get to this topic of global demographic and economic trends. Sounds heavy, but it's how we misperceive those trends and what we can learn from that misperception that's so important. We'll unpack that today. And then at 10:30, we're talking to Hap Richardson about your property taxes. Yeah, your property taxes that probably just went up if you either got the bill in the mail or went online and looked it up. And how do you appeal that? And is it worth it to appeal? And why do you do it? So stay tuned for the 10:30 hour for that. We're going to go to the phones here. Mike from Alpharetta. Mike, how can we help?
Hey, Wes, long-time listener, first-time caller. Appreciate everything you do for us.
Yeah, happy to take the call. What's going on?
Hey, I'm looking at a pension, taking a retirement here next year, and one of my options is a 100% survivable with my spouse at about $400 less than a 50% survivability with my spouse. So as an example, I can take $5,000 pension per month.
And then $4,600 if you do a joint spousal.
If we do a joint 100%, that's correct.
All right. Sorry. Let me go back for a second. So if it's just covering your life, it's $5,000 a month, and if it's you and your wife, it's $4,600 a month.
And it's a 50% survivable on the 100% on mine. So if something happened to me on the $5,000, she would get $2,500 a month after. Every month thereafter,
right? If you do the 50% survivor,
that's correct.
And the 100 is 4,600.
That's correct.
All right. So, and then let me just, for those listening, Mike, let me just explain what you're asking just briefly. Very often, you get an option. And by the way, do you have an option to do a lump sum, or is it just a pension option? You've got to make an election on which way, or can you take a lump sum too?
There is no lump sum option.
So this is just a straight, hey, I'm going to take a pension, which is awesome. How do I best take it, right? And the way this typically works, and it makes actuarial sense, and it's just all based on life expectancy tables, is that if the company is risking, is the way they look at it, risking covering you for your whole life, they're going to give you the most amount of money for that because they're just betting on you living and not having to cover two lives, which, of course, statistically will last longer. If they say, okay, and so they'll say, Mike, here's $5,000 a month. If you die next week, then we paid you $5,000 and that's it. If you live 30 years from 60 to 90, then wow, we're going to be covering you a long time. That's a lot of $5,000 payments. The option here, so that's what you've got to unpack. And that's why you look at the other ways to take this and they'll say, okay, well, we'll give you 100% survivor, which will say, all right, we're going to give you less money. In this case, $4,600, not $5,000. But if you die next week, next month, next year, 10 years from now, we will cover your wife for as long as she lives. And I will tell you, just through working with a lot of families over many years, understanding and trying to figure out what the best solution is for them, most of the time, you're going to want to take some sort of survivor benefit, whether it's the 100 or the 75% or the 50%. The cases where you would take the 100 or the just life option would be if, let's say, your spouse also has a pension and she's covered already, right? Then you might both want to take the single life because you don't need to take a hit on the monthly amount because you're both covered. In this case, let me just ask a couple other quick questions. A, what's the age difference between you and your wife? Is she younger?
She's only 1 year younger.
Okay, only 1 year younger. And she probably doesn't have a pension like this?
You're correct. She does not have a pension.
Okay. And those two variables obviously lean towards taking the joint, the survivor benefit. But I guess your question is probably, do you take the 100% or do you drop all the way down and take the 50%?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
It's more, I look at it more like a math problem. It's like, I've heard of people actually getting life insurance policies to make the difference or like, you know, a portion of that. And
sure.
I don't know if that's something I want to look at.
That's interesting too. So think about this. You've got, let's say you're getting $5,000 a month. You take the 50% survivor, you pass away. I love that we talk about this in such a cheerful way on a Sunday morning about your demise, Mike. Mike, let's spitball this out. You're gone, and you've got your wife that is now hopefully lives another, let's call that 20 years. She would drop down to $2,500. What you're saying is, why not get a life insurance policy to make up for the $2,500 the family income would be losing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that would probably entail, let's see, you'd need a life insurance policy, let's say for $2,500 a month, which is $30,000 a year. Let's call that at 6% a year. She'd need a life, you would need to buy a life insurance policy on you for about at least $500,000.
Okay.
And there's at least that intuitively makes some sense, or common sense says, oh, that's not a bad idea. But you've got to really price that out. That's not an inexpensive policy at your age, right? And how old are you again?
55.
Well, you're 55. You're pretty young. Okay. So you've got it. That's a big pension for being so young. So you might want to price that out and get some sort of look at it as a 20-year term that covers you all the way to your, let's call it 85, or even a longer term policy. And if the cost is not, and if you're in great health, there's a case to be made on that. Typically, where interest rates are now and they're low, it's hard to insure. These policies may not be all that cost effective. And I very often, if you meet with somebody who sells life insurance, they'll tell you, hey, you need to buy one of these policies. I don't know if the numbers necessarily work out, but I don't think it's a bad idea because you're so young, and if you're in good health, maybe the cost of life insurance isn't all that much. If you're 65 and you're making this decision, I can tell you it very rarely ever works. If you're 65, maybe you're not in perfect health, then to get a policy to make up for that spousal difference, it very often does not work. You're young, healthy, maybe it does. So I would explore that option, Mike. I don't think it's a bad option, but I will tell you the most common option I see is the 100% spousal. And that would be, in this case, it's the $46,000 or $4,600 per month.
Okay.
Versus the $2,500. That is where I would tell you at least there's the most peace of mind with that option.
Okay.
Just to give you some feedback or background on what I see families feel the most comfortable with. So think of that just think that that is what I typically see. And I don't think you can go wrong either way. The last component of this is your asset base. So if you've got tons of money saved, then it would make it a lot easier to take the lesser, the survivor 50% option. If you don't have a lot of money saved, or you're going to be the pension is, let's call it 50 to 70% or more of your total income when you do your retirement planning, then you want to err towards the 100% survivor versus the 50% survivor. Just because it's going to be harder if you don't have a ton of money saved to make up for that if you're not here. So that's the other big variable here is that what are your other savings? And if it's $1 million in an IRA, then you have more latitude. If there's less money saved here, you've got to be a little bit safer in your calculations here and say, you know what? Let's do the higher amount, let's do the 100% survivor, even though it's a slightly lower amount per month, because it, quite frankly, gives you the safety and security that you're covered and then your spouse is covered really forever. So I know it's a lot to unpack on one Sunday morning, but hopefully that gives you some thoughts, Mike. Thank you so much for the call, and I wish you the very best, my friend. 404-872-0750. The number here in the studio. Can I go to my global economic data talk? Yes, Ryan says I can. So we'll get back to the phones. It's in a little while, but I got to get to so much of what's happening in the world here and why it matters for you as an investor. And we just talked about the jobs numbers, which they're arguably very good. But that's another microeconomic data point that continues to get revised over and over and over again every single month. What I love to make sure that you and I have a good understanding of is the bigger picture around the world. So the big picture demographics, big picture economics, socioeconomic trends, what's happening in the world and what's going to happen over the next decade or two, because we're investing for decades, not for days and not for weeks. And there's a lot of misperception about where the world is really headed. And I'm going to give you some examples here. So the topic here is this global demographic and economic trends. We tend as a society to get stuck in negative worldviews. Happens all the time. Almost like a religion or a language of how you think things are, how things really are, it's almost ingrained in our mind. And I can tell you a fact, let's say, and it might surprise you, and you might totally believe that fact. And then after a little while, let's say, okay, I get it, Wes. My perception was totally wrong, and the world's better than I thought in this particular area, and that's great. Shocking, but great. And then a year later, you go right back to your ingrained view. And if it's a negative view, you've kind of forgotten how the world is in a particular area. And I'm going to give you some examples here about crime rates and poverty rates and how many people die around the world when it comes to natural disasters and what electricity looks like around the world and what clean water looks like around the world. I'm going to give you some of these statistics. I want you to think about this before, as we go to break, but some fascinating trends to make sure you're aware of as we think about the global economy. In global economy and the demographics and what we invest in. So stay tuned. We got a lot of cool stuff here to discuss when Money Matters returns. I'm your host, Wes Moss, here every Sunday morning. Find me and the team at wesmoss.com, WESMOSS.com. There's a contact button upper right-hand corner. Stay tuned. More Money Matters right here, News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
Here's more great money and investment advice from certified financial planner Wes Moss.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here on a Sunday morning. Talking about these so important global demographic and economic trends, and then how we just get them wrong so often. And I'm going to give you a couple examples here around the world and ask a question of you in your car, at home, or maybe you're just having a cup of coffee in the kitchen or driving down the road here to church or going to play golf. It's warm today. It's a beautiful day. Try to answer this question. In the past 20 years, has extreme poverty around the world, this is globally, has it A, stayed the same, B, cut in half, or doubled? So has global poverty doubled, stayed the same, or has it been cut in half? Again, over the last 20 years around the world, it's not a ton of time. Over the last 20 years, what's happened to extreme poverty? Has it been cut in half, has it doubled, or stayed the same? Think about it for just a second. Don't run off the road. The answer here, and by the way, less than 10% of people get this right. And this is after survey, after survey, after survey. And this is even for global economists and for professors. Less than 10% get this right. The answer is that it has been cut in half. The answer is that global poverty in the last 20 years, which is like a nanosecond in time, it's been cut in half. And the move out of that extreme poverty is significant from what families drink, how they drink water, clean water, transportation, what families eat, where they sleep. It's significant. And again, we're going to talk about some of these really fascinating global trends and the misperceptions of what they are. When Money Matters returns in the 10 o'clock hour. Stay tuned. News 95.5, AM 750, WSB.